Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Mind your business with the breakfast huddle, only on Money FM 89.3.
It's time now for Mind Your Business. We've been talking a lot about companies doing this for years. It's only now, though, it's becoming more imperative that companies start to think about their carbon footprint. As you know, you've got insurers, investors, funds, shareholders, all these demanding to see quantified data and evidence of a company's policy to tackle climate change. It's a very crucial thing these days. Well, it's been found that just 1 in 8 Forbes Global 2000 companies successfully navigated the process of digital transformation. And similarly, companies must now face up to the challenges of the sustainability revolution, or you might unfortunately perish. So how can a company survive this sustainability revolution journey and come out on top of it? We'll find out more right now from Frank Mihan, the founder and CEO of Equilibrium World. Frank, good morning. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks.
Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me. To break the ice a little bit, tell us a little bit more about Equilibrium World.
Sure. Well, we're a Singapore-based company. We were founded in January 2020, just before the pandemic. And since then, we've just expanded super fast because, as you were just talking about, companies have a burning need to fix their carbon footprint problem and basically reduce their carbon emissions. So now we've expanded with teams throughout Asia and into the US and customers in Asia and US. And we have a advanced platform that helps companies manage their data around carbon, understand their carbon footprint, and then help them with decarbonization of their carbon footprint. We also help them with wider ESG goals, because coming up behind carbon is their ability to look at water and plastics and waste and everything. So it's environmental right across the board that's hitting companies. They need to be doing that. But carbon being right in their headlights at the moment.
Right. Okay. So basically using data to help improve the carbon footprint. I mean, tell us more about what's involved here. Is there a form of AI that needs to be, used?
Yeah. I mean, so basically when you're doing carbon footprint, you have to know pretty much everything about a company to help them with it, because it's everything from, if they're an agricultural company, it's like what they're doing on the land, or how they're making food, or a steel company, how they're making steel, or your impact on land, how you're transporting goods, how you're buying goods, your employee commuting, your business travel, your heating, your air conditioning, everything has to go into this. So that's a very, very complex problem to solve. And then you have to then figure out what's the most cost-effective way of reducing things. So, what type of fuel do I need to change to? What type of electricity or other solutions that I should be looking at? And it's a complex problem. And so you then start looking at, what's the cost? What you're spending on? How can you reduce it? Because you've got big targets now, China, Japan, Korea have all said they're going to be carbon neutral by 2050, 2060.
Yeah, yeah.
The US has got very aggressive targets, and then that's placing pressure on it. But it's really also coming from the fact that what's really pushing it down is supply chain. So you've got the big, big companies in the US, Microsoft and also Samsung in Korea, Apple, etc., are placing lots of pressure. IKEA as well in Europe, they're placing lots of pressure on companies throughout Asia to report their carbon footprint, because when you report your carbon footprint, it's all the way down your supply chain. Mm-hmm. And so these companies are going, right, but for us to reduce our carbon footprint, we need to reduce our carbon footprint across our supply chain. So they're asking companies throughout Asia, right, we need to know what your footprint is, and most people don't know.
Right.
So we help them get that data together, manage it, and figure out how to get better.
Right, very on. It's the day-to-day things that you don't even see that contributes to the carbon footprint. In your opinion, Frank, when you look at companies or even clients that are going through this whole sustainability revolution, are they quite, especially in our part of the world, this region, are they quite picking it up fast enough, getting on board fast enough, or still stuck in, the traditional way or the tried and tested way of doing things?
It really varies from company to company. Like, for instance, in Singapore, DBS is typically, just like they did with the digital revolution, really leading the way on sustainability. Piyush Gupta is pushing very hard on sustainability data, reporting, improvements across the organization. And DBS is also making a lot of sustainability linked information linked to their loans now. So they're making big loans to companies that are linked to ESG performance. So interest rate on financing that companies are getting now in Asia is increasingly linked to their carbon footprint or improvement. So, you know, you reduce your carbon footprint, you get a better interest rate. DBS is leading the way on that, but it really, really varies. So, you know, some companies are right on top of it and some are well behind on it. But anyone that's operating globally or regionally is really going to have to get their act together now.
Yeah, we talk about getting their act together. What are the main challenges that businesses face when it comes to managing this sustainability revolution?
Yeah, so it really starts at the top. So you can't really say to, it used to be that there'd be someone in marketing or you know, someone who had the job of corporate social responsibility, you know, the old CSR thing. And it was really mostly a load of rubbish that marketing would just do, the company would do for a little bit of marketing. You know, I've sponsored a school in Indonesia or something, and that's great. And it really meant nothing. And so what it takes at the top, it takes the, just like at DBS, it takes the CEO and the board to really go, right, we're going to have to get to grips on this and make a difference and set a target. And so, you know, you have to set a target, whether it's going to be carbon neutral at 2025 and drive that right down the organization. So we are going to do this and relentlessly execute on it. A bit like you had to do with the digital revolution, but this one is much more acute because the problems that are going to hit companies down the line are much, much bigger than being not digital. You could get away with it if you're still doing on paper, but this is much, much worse. So, and then understanding your data. So you've really got to get to grips with, what am I doing? What's the data that I need to understand? And then, you know, really just get a carbon footprint across the organization, get started, find out where you are, and then you can start to figure out where to improve.
Yeah, those words, footprint, so important. I mean, it's more than, and I like how you talked about the CSR stuff. I mean, it's more than you have a press release where you've hired a chief sustainability officer in that sense. Because at the end of the day, you could set these goals, but there are a lot of these activists that are constantly bombarding. They have skills enough to hack into systems and make their claims or whatever, or Twitter accounts, hack Twitter accounts for that matter. So releasing that footprint does deal with this other so-called communication aspect of the sustainability revolution.
That's right. That's completely right. And actually, that's, it's not just that. I think it really comes back to, you know, it's really driven heavily by, like, the big global companies in finance now. So you can imagine, you know, when DBS or another bank makes a sustainability-linked loan, right? And that's increasingly, in fact, most finance is probably going to be, just like cost and revenue, linked to carbon reduction at some point. And so how do you trust that data? Just like when you're doing with cost and revenues and profits, you need to trust that data. You need to verify that the reporting that the company's telling you is accurate. So you've really got to drive into that. So the companies have got to, like, we'll be seeing that coming more and more from finances, as insurers, just as you talked about, investors. So the companies themselves not have to feel confident their data is accurate, and the insurers, the banks and others have to feel their data is accurate too. And then, of course, you've got the investors, the consumers and the activists, but it's less of a problem than finance and investors themselves.
It's like measuring examination results in that sense, and that's why you keep harping on the fact that you need the AI and data. But, you know, talking about businesses trying to survive, and I hate to use the word survive sustainability revolution when they really should be looking at thriving from it, I understand that you feel 50% of businesses won't survive this sustainability revolution?
Well, I mean, 50% of businesses didn't survive of the global 500, et cetera, didn't survive the digital revolution.
Right,
so
right.
The sustainability revolution is probably similar. I mean, the problem is that you're looking at stuff like IKEA.
Yeah.
IKEA is now saying, hey, you know, if that supplier has a bigger carbon footprint than that one, no matter what the price, we're going with the one with the lower carbon footprint because we have to. Like, and that's a real shock to companies, particularly in Asia, where, you know, traditionally, you, as long as your product is great and your price is great, what's the problem? Now it's like, wow, you know, my price is great, my price is great, my carbon footprint's terrible, and I've lost the business, and I don't understand really why. So, you know, you never had that in the digital revolution. You're not going to lose business because the digital revolution might be slow, but you're not going to lose it. In this case, investors are also choosing to say, I can't invest in this business because I don't know where you are in sustainability.
Yeah.
And again, it's a total shock to the board. Like, what does that mean?
Right.
But they've got no choice because investors themselves themselves are graded on their ESG portfolio performance now.
Yeah.
And so what, you know, they've got no choice. So it's the ripple effect down the chain. It's far greater than the digital revolution.
Yeah, that's something that a lot of wealth management firms are facing now, especially when they're talking to ultra high net worth individuals who want to have this aspect very prominent in their portfolio. You've got a demographic that's a lot younger now. Millennials, they care about such things. So if I'm a company, and you mentioned some really great examples of companies that are doing well in this aspect of sustainability revolution, what would your advice be on where should I start?
Well, I thought, you know, look, you made a great point about hiring a chief sustainability officer. You know, once upon a time, you know, that CSR responsibility was way down the chain. And you're absolutely right. Now it's right up at the top. And we're going to see an explosion of chief sustainability officers or chief climate officer roles at C-level across Asian companies. We're seeing it in the US and in the UK. For instance, in the UK, half of the FTSE 500 companies, FTSE 100 companies now have executive pay linked to ESG performance.
Yes.
We're going to see that here as well. So I think that's the first step, like hire well and hire at top. Secondly is look at how you can digitize the problem. Like you've just got to understand where your data is. And understand it, because everything needs to be driven from a data perspective. And then, you know, the third thing is set that goal, set that target, you know, and make it visible across the organization.
I like that last point, make it visible. I've been speaking with Frank Meehan, who is the founder and CEO of Equilibrium. Well, Frank, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thanks, Elliot. Cheers. All the best.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.